Hello and welcome to Theatre Club Podcast.
We bring you theatre news,
theatre reviews,
and theatre themed booze. Welcome back.
Oh.
You go.
Okay, welcome back to another episode. We have got three big shows to talk about this week.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to see Sister Act at the Dominion Theatre.
I went to see Opening Night, starring Sheridan Smith at the Gielgud.
And we both went to see MJ the Musical, which is at the Prince Edward Theatre, which we booked over a year ago.
Yes, we've been waiting a long time for this one.
Yeah, so three great shows to talk about, and yeah, let's get into it.
Three big West End musicals. So why don't we crack on with our first review? We were both going to go and see Sister Act the Musical. I couldn't go, so you're going to have to tell me how it was.
Well, we've already seen it before.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what I was in store for, but I was just so excited to see Beverly Knight. And she is joined by a really massive cast, as in like star-studded cast. Clive Rowe.
He was in it when we saw it last time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ruth Jones from Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, okay.
Lamar.
From yes, Bing I thought Lamar. He was going to be in it, yeah.
And playing one of the nuns. What's she called? Leslie from Birds of a Feather. I've forgotten.
Oh, yeah. What is that actress called? Leslie Joseph.
Yes, I think that's right. So it was really, it was the press night, so there was lots of famous people there. There was a big buzz on the red carpet.
Did you see anyone?
Well, I was excited to see Bonnie Langford.
Oh, yeah.
And she was, like, just taking photos with everybody, being very gracious and patient.
Yeah.
James Corden was there.
Ooh.
Todrick.
Oh, Todrick Hall.
Yep, Todrick was there.
That's cool.
Like, the atmosphere was buzzing. Like, yeah. It felt like a sort of real... And, I mean, the Dominion Theatre is incredible, isn't it? It just feels
so
like
big.
You're in... It's so big. You just feel like you're in, like, an American... The Oscars kind of vibe, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because when you go in, it's got the big staircases going up.
And, yeah. So it's a really great night. And Beverly, as per usual, I mean, we don't need to talk about her performance because it's just obvious, isn't it? She's great.
So good.
She's incredible.
Yeah,
her voice is just insane. So just for anybody who hasn't heard the review of Sister Act before, Sister Act, the musical, is based on the 90s film. But this doesn't feature any of the songs from the 90s film, though.
No, this is an all-new score by
Alan Menken,
who did all the amazing Disney movies that we know.
Aladdin.
Beauty and the Beast.
Lion King.
No, not Lion King. Oh. That was Elton John. What's the one I'm trying to think of? Where she's a fish. Little Mermaid.
Did he do Prince of Egypt as well?
No, that was Stephen Schwartz.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wicked,
Little
Wicked
Mermaid
fame.
is probably the biggie.
Alan Menken did loads.
So the music's amazing. It's all sort of Motown inspired and...
Oh, yeah, because they've set it in, I forget that, it's set in the 70s rather than in the 90s.
Yes.
I thought it was a good choice.
Yeah,
musically.
And the costumes are all kind of... Everyone's being wearing flares and platforms. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, this it's got a gospel-y vibe to it. So it's just really good that Beverly's... She can go really low. She can belt out those gospel numbers.
Yeah.
It's incredible just watching her sing. And to be honest, I do enjoy this musical. It is really good fun, but I am just waiting for her to get back on stage most of the time.
Right.
So that's kind of the music covered. The music's amazing. The songs are incredible. The orchestration's great. The costumes are quite... The costumes in the set are really good.
Yeah, was the staging similar to last
yeah,
time?
Yeah, you've got a massive stained glass window for the big scenes with the nuns. You've got outfit changes. Yeah, the 70s clothes is fun. What's she called? Dolores Van Cartier, who's what Beverly Knight's character is. You know, her nightclub scenes are really good.
Yeah, it's all quite slick, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a slick West End production.
I think seeing it the second time, I realised that the book, so like the actual words and like watching it trundle along, it's quite old fashioned. And I thought, is this like because it's from the, you know, is it from the 50s? And that's why we've got this kind of like.
Is what from the 50s?
Is this book, is this, was this play written in the 50s?
Sister Act's not based on a play.
Or no,
you just say,
like,
oh, it felt like it was
felt
a,
like
a traditional.
Very
Broadway.
Traditional. We've got, you know, this boring love story between Denise and. Dolores and the policeman.
Is that who Lamar's playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's not really in the film, is it? That's something
no,
they've sort
no,
of added.
No, sorry, Lamar is playing the gangster.
Oh, Lamar's playing the gangster that wants to kill her.
Yes. And then we've got Clive Rowe, who was playing the policeman that's sort
sweaty,
of...
Sweaty Eddie or something.
Yeah, and you're like, do we need to have that? I mean, this is a...
I guess you've got to expand it out, though, for a full night at the theatre, I feel.
But
you
being
know.
There, I felt like this was for, like, a 90s queer fun, camp audience. And I just don't think we need that boring storyline, to be honest. And
interesting, yeah.
I just kind of, like, on the poster, it's like, this is a divine comedy. That's how it's kind of pitching itself. And I was like, there were two big laughs, and the rest of it kind of teetered along because it feels very broad. And I just was like...
Yeah, I remember the laughs coming more from the musical numbers, like the Sweaty Eddie performance where it kind of goes all disco at the end. That was quite funny. Yes. But in terms of, maybe the book wasn't full of zingers.
So it's a good night out. It's like one for all the family.
Oh, yeah, it's going to do so well.
Okay, so let's talk about the tickets. So Beverly Knight is currently starring in this until the 10th of June, and then Alexandra Burke takes over and she finishes the run until August. But I had a look at tickets earlier and it is selling like hotcakes. You can still get some seats though. And they're really reasonable. They're like £50 to sit kind of towards the back of the stalls, which is a fine view. I sat in an amazing seat. I sat in row P and it was, great view of the stalls.
But it is such a big theatre that sometimes you think, oh, if I sit at the back, I'll feel so far away. But sometimes those big theatres like the Dominion or like even the Prince Edward that we're going to talk about later, if you sit kind of towards the back, it's so wide and open that you don't feel obstructed. You're not sort of hemmed in like in some of the smaller theatres. So yeah. I do think you can get a pretty good experience sat further back.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good... I went and had a look upstairs in the interval because I always like to go and have a kind of wander around. And I saw the seats that we usually sit in, which are considered restrictive view because they have this bar, but they're really not. They're great seats, but I've had a look at a few dates and they're all gone.
Okay.
All the kind of cheaper seats like that have sold out. But yeah, definitely go and see it. It's really good fun. So Sister Act is on at the Dominion Theatre. Beverly Knight and Ruth Jones will be performing from the 15th of March until the 8th of June. Alexandra Burke will be performing until the 31st of August.
Then it closes. Okay, well, they've also got Today Ticks £30 rush ticket. So if I decide to go and see it again, that is probably how I'll do it. Because for £30, you don't know where you're going to be, but they'll put you somewhere that'll probably be quite good. And I guess I would try and see it with... I'm sure Alexandra Burke will be great, but obviously we just love Beverly Knight.
Definitely, you need to see Bev.
Yeah, we love that Bev. Okay, let's talk about then... mentioning the Prince Edward... Have I got that right? Prince Edward Theatre is where MJ the Musical is on.
Yes, which is on Old Compton Street, which is next to the GAY nightclub.
And it's the first time I've ever been to the Prince Edward Theatre. You went to see Mary Poppins there. But I don't think I've ever been. And you saw Miss Saigon there. I don't think I've ever been to that theatre before. So this is quite a big West End theatre and it has those big shows. And of course, MJ the Musical is a big show coming over from Broadway. It was on just before the pandemic. Did it open on Broadway, I feel? Or maybe just after, but it's a big new musical with about Michael Jackson. It is made in collaboration or with the approval of the Michael Jackson estate. I know his kids are, involved in it. So it's a kind of authorised biographical look at Michael Jackson during a short period of his life in the early 90s while he's preparing for the Dangerous World tour, which is from his new album Dangerous from 93 or something. And he's going to, 91, he's going to take it on tour. And the musical's set during his rehearsals for this tour. It then flashes back to his life growing up. And it's directed by Christopher Wheeldon, who is primarily a dance choreographer, who we sort of knew his work from the Royal Ballet. And then his first non-ballet kind of big thing was An American in Paris, which we loved.
Which we also saw at the Dominion Theatre.
That was at the Dominion, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so he's directed and choreographed this, and so that's why we were kind of most interested, because the music of Michael Jackson meets kind of a ballet choreographer. We just thought that sounded really interesting.
And then you showed me, they performed it a number at the Tonys. You showed it to me and I was blown away.
Yeah, it's very cool choreography. So MJ the Musical.
Yeah, just on the choreography. What's amazing, what I love about this show is the choreography is inspired by Michael Jackson. You're not going to see the exact dance routine from Thriller. You're going to see Thriller moves. It's like his take on it and what makes Michael Jackson's moves iconic.
Yeah, I wondered if there was any, because choreography is copyrighted, I wondered if there was I know this is made with the kind of approval of the Michael Jackson estate. I wondered if any of the choreography was off limits to them, or whether they chose, we're not going to do the actual choreography, we're going to make this our own thing. I just wonder what that choice was, whether they were restricted or whether they chose, no, we're not going to do it. Because Michael Jackson might not have choreographed the whole Thriller music video, for example. So they might not own that choreography. Mm. But I don't know. I should look that up.
Because I don't want to go and see... If I want to watch Michael Jackson's Thriller, I'll just watch it online. Or I'll go and see Thriller.
Yes, because there was that West End show. Was it called...
Yeah, it was called Thriller. Yeah.
And that was kind of... Didn't really have a story as far as I'm aware. It was more like performances of Michael Jackson songs, kind of maybe loosely held together. Whereas this is more of a proper musical. So we meet Michael Jackson in the
rehearsal studio.
He's played by Miles Frost, who won the Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical.
For this.
Oh, wow. He's the youngest person ever to win it.
Wow.
Because he's only in his early 20s, I think. And
He's only in his early 20s?
Yeah, wow, he's really young.
He's got presence.
Yeah, and I thought he was really, really good.
You did feel like a celebrity had just walked in.
Yeah, and it was a little bit of everything. He could sing like Michael Jackson. He did have the moves, but you're right, he also kind of had the demeanour.
Yeah, he had the demeanour.
And it starts off kind of, it does build this piece quite interestingly, I thought. So it has some big numbers at the big. I can't remember what the opening number was, but in terms of the production, it builds up as to how much... You know, it starts rehearsal studio style without everyone's kind of in their rehearsal clothes doing the first number. And then we get more and more. It kind of builds.
There's so many good numbers. I'm thinking about the Thriller number. You get to see when he goes to record the video for it. So it feels like you're watching them record it in a studio.
Yeah.
The dance number. But they did it in a really cool way with masks.
Yeah, do you know
what? I loved that.
The Thriller number, for me, was not as successful as the Smooth Criminal one. So I think those two are both were kind of the big two numbers in terms of like group numbers. And I felt with Thriller, the fact that they didn't use the choreography of Thriller, there were a few moments where I just thought it's so iconic and they're staying so close to it still as a sort of like, you know, scary movie style thing. I kind of, in that moment, felt like it felt a bit odd not to have the choreography, whereas Smooth Criminal, which is the number that you can watch from the Tony Awards, they'd just gone in such a different direction, but yet kept the kind of the style of it that it felt really kind of avant-garde.
Yeah.
It had some like real ballet stuff in there. I could really see Christopher Wilden and a lot of the moves in it.
Oh, it's amazing.
I liked the way that built up with kind of, we saw all Michael's influences from like Fred Astaire, the Nicholas brothers, you know, it kind of showed his like artistic creativity and what he drew from. What else did I really love? Oh, I loved the younger Michael as well. So we had two younger Michaels. We had him as a kid in the Jackson 5, and then we also had Mitchell Zangaza played him, I guess, sort of just as he was breaking out in his own to do his own solo material.
So there was a whole section about him meeting Quincy.
Yes, and when he kind of left the Jackson 5 behind and kind of became his own solo artist. And I thought his voice was so good. He sounded just like Michael Jackson.
You're right. That was a really good section, wasn't it? I loved that.
All the press has kind of been about Miles Frost because he is the central lead. But I just thought that Mitchell Zangaza had just the sound of his voice was like bang on.
Totally agree. That was really cool.
I guess the elephant in the room is... all the, you know, the allegations about Michael Jackson, which, you know, this piece is set conveniently just before the first kind of major police allegation came out in the early 90s. And it is a little weird to do a biography of somebody that's, you know, that was...
A paedophile. Let's just say it.
Yeah, and it does feel weird in the piece. You're kind of like, we're watching a thing about Michael Jackson.
And they sort of skirt around it. They say, how do you feel about the allegations, what people are saying about you? And what about these crazy... You know, they're sort of hinting at it. And it kind of made me tense.
Yeah, because, yeah, I know he has all those songs. So some of the pieces in this, some of the musical numbers are just like performance, like Smooth Criminal. We're just watching how he created that music video. Some of the other songs are used to sort of tell story a bit more.
Like Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, and Tabloid Junkie obviously is used as like to him because he wrote that about all the sort of press speculation. So some of the songs tell story. But it just feels a bit weird. It kind of feels like Will trying to be convinced that he was just a tortured artistic genius who was totally misunderstood. That's it.
And it had child abuse.
Yeah, and his dad wasn't very nice, and so he was really misunderstood, and poor Michael.
Mm.
But that's just not the story. I'm sorry, it's not. So I kind of wish that they just, that Christopher Wilden had just been able to go more avant-garde and been less draw, like, it just felt a bit sort of your standard jukebox musical in moments, unless it was dancing, and then Christopher Wilden really got to take it somewhere
more avant-garde. I completely wish that he had just focused on, like you were saying earlier, it was so interesting hearing about his influences, how he used to watch the TV when he was a kid, and he loved ballet and all different styles of dance, and he used that himself, and then how he met Quincy and how he wanted to do a different sound, and he was trying to get that. I found really interesting. I don't need all of the misunderstood, you know, all of that kind of emotional, personal stuff about him. I just was interested in the dance.
Yeah, because it's, he's, you know, it just felt like it was kind of, we can't just have a fun, entertaining look at someone who was clearly an abuser himself. And it just felt weird. And I just wish this could have been, I mean, maybe some would argue you shouldn't be making any sort of thing about it at all. But I just love Christopher Wilden's work, and I do love Michael Jackson's, the music he created and the dance. I wish there'd just been like a Michael Jackson ballet or like a Michael Jackson dance. Just looking at the dance, just looking at the art. I don't know, but so that felt weird.
Okay, but having said all of that, I do want to go back and see it again.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just loved the energy and the staging of it. I thought was kind of bang on, as in the lighting cues, the volume, the like, I just want to see those big dance numbers again. I loved it.
The production's amazing. Because
the production's amazing.
Because that's kind of what they're interested in, is Michael Jackson's creativity and his how meticulous he was with getting things right, and they've kind of put all of that into this. And yeah, like, I think people, if you don't want to see this, you're not going to go see it.
Yeah.
And people who do want to go see it are. So it's kind of neither here nor there about whether or not it should have been made. People who want to see it will, people who don't won't.
Mm.
And it was that, I just think Miles Frost and Mitchell Zengarza, their performances are just amazing. So whatever kind of moral query, like, problems I had with it, I was like, well, at least I'm watching, these two performances are so good. So that's something. And also Christopher Wilden, his choreography is really good. I think the Smooth Criminal number was amazing. It was just Thriller for me, where that's the only moment where I felt like, oh, have you not been able to get the choreography right?
Mm.
I think they should have moved it further away, or it wasn't avant-garde enough for me, like the Smooth Criminal number was. Those outfits, those sort of leotards.
Oh, and the sort of Bob Fosse number.
The, like, Bob Fosse, that was the other person that was part of that was really good. I thought even...
That's why I need to go back again, because I'm seeing all this stuff and I'm going, oh, wow, that's that. And then now I'm like ready for it. I know what's coming, and I can sit back and be like, oh, this bit's coming up, and I love it.
Well, let's talk tickets then. So we got quite good seats, actually. So this, again, is a big kind of wide theatre, and we sat in row E, so very near the front. And we sat on E, the first two seats in the row, and they're reduced price. They're £69. So still, you know, still quite expensive, but the seats next to that are more like 80 or 90. The only thing we did miss was a tiny bit of footwork, because we're near the front.
Mm.
So, like, you know, we sort of had to lean up to see that moonwalk. It was great. It was great still.
I think you're right. Back. I think we should go further back.
Yeah, I guess we saw, it's a dance piece ultimately. It was nice to see up close, but actually it's dance, so maybe sometimes a bit of perspective is better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit on the end of the rows in the stalls, I think they're only, apart from like during school holidays, I think they're only £52 for the edge seats in the stalls.
Okay.
And I don't think they won't be obstructed, because it's not like a curved theatre and there's no pillars and stuff. So that's what I would do. Or they have they're not doing rush tickets on TodayTix, but they are doing a lottery on TodayTix. So basically, if you go on, you'll see, you click enter lottery, you have a full week to enter, and when you click it, it'll give you the list of performances for the following week that you can basically enter with a chance to win. So if you're like free all week, just leave them all highlighted, or take out any days you wouldn't want to win lottery tickets on. And then each Wednesday, I believe, there's a draw, and they'll contact you. So just make sure your notifications for TodayTix are on. And if you've won tickets to one of the performances that you selected. They're £30. But yeah, if you want to go see this, if this is your sort of thing, this is amazing. This is a step above like a thriller experience, just in terms of the
leaps
choreography
and bounds ahead of something like
and
that.
And what he's done. And I was thinking, I wonder if the audience who are just Michael Jackson fans will like the fact that it's not exactly his choreography for Smooth Criminal. It's not exactly those costumes. It's going somewhere. But I think it's done so well that I think even if people were like, this isn't quite right, they were like, oh, this is pretty amazing.
I think the performances, like you said, the singing is so good that you feel like you're kind of watching him. Mm. So it does, I wouldn't, if, like a diehard fan wouldn't mind that you haven't seen the original moves or anything like that. Because I think, well, the voice is incredible.
Yeah. And they have created some really great stuff, I think, Christopher Walden.
I'm definitely going to go again.
Interesting. I'm not too sure. I don't think I will. I think I did really enjoy it, but not enough to go again.
I found it so visually stunning. I just wasn't, so I think it's just me. Sometimes I need to see something a second time to really enjoy it.
To take
it in again. So okay, well, I'll let you know if I go again.
Yeah. So it runs until, it's booking until December this year. So they're planning, obviously, to be in the West End for a long time. Thriller was in the West End for over 10 years, I think. So I think they're hoping for something like that. You always wonder with these shows, are you going to find, how do you find so many talented people? But I guess there are a lot of talented people out there. What? To play the Michael.
I know, the casting must have been really tricky.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, there are loads. Every time we see something like this, you're like, wow, that person's so talented. There is talent out there. So that's great. So hopefully they can keep this running. So yeah, it's booking until December. School holidays, just be aware, the prices go up by about £10 per ticket, because I just looked for Easter. So just be aware of that.
Good point.
Okay, well, let's move on to our final musical.
Yeah, you went and saw something at a theatre just up the road from the Prince Edward.
At the Gielgud Theatre. We were both supposed to go to this. You couldn't come in the end, so I took my friend Georgie. We went to see Opening Night, which is a new musical directed and written by Ivo van Hove, who did Network at the National Theatre. He did All About Eve with Gillian Anderson. He kind of pioneered, or definitely was one of the first people to really start using cameras on stage, filming and projecting live. And he does that again in this. This is based on a movie called Opening Night from the late 1970s, an American film by Cassavetes. It was quite avant-garde, I think. It's become like a cult classic. It didn't do super well, but it's become this cult classic. I've not seen the movie, but he's adapted this into a musical, and the music is by Rufus Wainwright, and it stars Sheridan Smith. Olivier nominated for her performance last year in Shirley Valentine.
She was in Legally Blonde.
But she was in Legally Blonde musical. She was in Funny Girl, which transferred to the West End. So this is kind of a big return to musicals for her, because during Funny Girl, she had, I think she recently described it in an interview as mental health wobble, and she missed quite a few performances. And so I think this is kind of a deliberate choice to tackle that head on, because this is about an actress. She plays an actress getting ready to perform in a play, and the actress is having kind of a crisis. And so it's very kind of close. It's sort of telling that story almost. So she's kind of tackling her own experience within this piece. And the piece is quite avant-garde. Having not seen the film, it's quite unusual. So as I said, Sheridan Smith plays an actress. She's getting ready to do this play. They're in previews leading up to the opening night. One night outside the theatre, a fan, she's obviously quite a well-known actress, a sort of fan, a young girl, kind of runs up to her in the street. They have a short interaction. The girl sort of runs into the road, gets hit and killed by a car. The rest of the cast that's with Sheridan Smith's character from the show is kind of sort of like, they sort of brush it off and they all want to kind of move on and go for dinner after the piece. And she's very affected by this experience and is then subsequently haunted by the ghost of this girl throughout the piece. And
so it's quite heavy.
It's very avant-garde, and she's really struggling with this play. My main issue off the bat is I didn't quite understand what her struggle with the play was. You don't really see that much of the play at the beginning, the play within the play. So I didn't actually know what her character was and what her issue with that characterization was. There's a female playwright, there's a director that she used to be married to one of her co-stars, so there's a director that she's maybe having an affair with. So there's a lot going on. It is quite avant-garde. And I just didn't, right from the start, I didn't quite understand what her issue was with the piece and with the character and what the struggle was. As I mentioned, it's all filmed. So there's this idea that a documentary crew have come to film the rehearsal process or the previews process to make a documentary. So I'm like, okay, that's why they're filming. There's a big screen in the back center of the stage filming everything. So two cameras, I think, going on. So they kind of cut between the two. We get a lot of close-ups of everyone's face. But I kind of didn't really think it was necessary to say that there was a documentary crew, because sometimes the characters say, no cameras, like, can the cameras go away? So the cameras sort of go away, but then they ultimately come back because it's all being filmed. So I'm like, why bother with the pretense of the camera crew? That kind of didn't make any sense to me, why they did that. Just film it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the camera stuff was quite good. Other times I kind of felt like, oh, why am I'm watching the big screen now, even though Sheridan Smith's right in front of my face, because I had really good seats for the press performance.
Oh,
but
I'm kind of
focusing on the big screen.
That's not good.
So I kind of feel like maybe I should choose their moments. I felt with Ivo Van Hove's All About Eve, the camera wasn't always on. It was on in certain moments. In fact, it was usually when they went to the back of the stage into a bit of the set that was obscured, then they started filming and then we got to see it, so we were like looking behind something we shouldn't see, whereas this, the whole thing was being filmed. And I kind of felt like, I don't know, I felt like it didn't necessarily, it was distracting for me,
because in Sunset Boulevard they used it really sparingly and it really added to the dramatic kind
they used
moments.
It for purpose.
You were like, whoa, this
is... like the big close-ups on Norma Desmond's face and the black and white. It worked better, and I think it's quite bad timing that this has come so soon after that, because it makes you think of that. Also, the music in this by Rufus Wainwright, it's okay. He's obviously a very talented artist, so it's not in any way bad, but some of it doesn't really carry any story. There's only one sort of actual song, like a memorable song, something about making magic out of tragic, that Sheridan sings. It's her kind of opening number, and that's like an up-tempo, and that's the song that you remember from it. I don't remember any of the other music. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't memorable, didn't necessarily carry it forward. There were some things that I did like about it. Sort of, it had a kind of haunted, obviously she's being haunted by this girl, but it had, some of the music had a sort of haunting kind of presence to it. But ultimately, I think, like I said, I didn't know what her character was going for. I think emotionally, I didn't connect with any of the characters, which is a shame, because Sheridan Smith's central performance is really good. I actually think this was a really good performance by her. She's got a real stage presence. Kind of, I know some people are not fans. I mean, that's any actor some people aren't fans of, but she does actually, she has something. She does have like a quality. I haven't seen her on stage for a while, and there is something about Sheridan Smith that is kind of like, yeah, she does really have a quality. She's quite magnetic.
Yeah, good word.
And yeah, that she has a real presence. So I kind of felt like it was a shame that she looked like, or she was acting like she was sinking her teeth into his character, and maybe in the rehearsal room they talked about it a lot. I just couldn't get that connection. So it was a really good performance on lots of levels, but I don't know what those levels were. I didn't know what anyone was going for. And the supporting cast was really good as well. They had like Hadley Fraser, Amy Lennox. The young girl who was killed is played by, I didn't watch Unorthodox, but you did. Yes. Shira Haas. She was the star of Unorthodox.
Oh, wow.
She played that character and she was really good. Nicola Hughes, who I saw in Fairview. She was great. She plays the writer of the piece. There was sort of unnecessarily large ensemble that didn't actually do much, kind of other actors in the play that were just sort of there on the outskirts. But it just didn't emotionally connect to anyone. I'm like, well, she just didn't... It felt a little surface level of like, oh, she's an actress that doesn't want to get old. Maybe that was the thing. And that's why, you know, that because she sort of accuses the writer of being older than her and going through menopause. And she's like, I'm not going through menopause, so I can't connect with the character. But I'm like, that seems a little surface level. Maybe if this play had actually been written by a female playwright, that might have helped, rather than Ivo Van Hove, because it just felt like they didn't really get to what maybe is an interesting concept at the heart of it, an actress
That's an interesting, a struggling actress. That's a very interesting point about, you know, this person's viewpoint being written by a man, writing for a woman. Like, it's kind of...
Yeah, some...
Maybe when it's this nuanced, you actually need somebody that has had that experience.
Yeah, because otherwise she's kind of just playing like a sort of Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek sort of actress that's flitting around like, oh, I can't do it, I can't... And it sort of made me think, well, no, if a real actor behaved like this in real life, like she starts changing the lines during previews, they're just... She doesn't show up, she's late for opening night, and you'd think, well, you'd just put the understudy on. I kept thinking things like that when I really shouldn't have been. I should have been more connected. I felt like this, going straight into the West End, is obviously because Sheridan's involved, Ivor Van Hove's involved, Rufus Wainwright. I kind of felt like this would have been so much more successful as a viewing experience, perhaps, if it was on at the Almeida, or even the National Theatre, if it needed a bigger space. Because you go into those experiences, I think, ready for more of like a challenge or more of a let's see what's happening here. Whereas when you spend your big West End ticket prices and go to the Gielgud, you kind of expect something a bit different. So what I would say to people who have already booked to see this and are going, like, just be kind of ready for that you might not totally get it, but there is lots of stuff I actually do think that's worthwhile. I didn't hate it. I just didn't connect that much with any of it. It's just kind of things like at the end, after the curtain call, they re-sing that, the one kind of up-tempo song, Magic Out of Tragic. I don't know if that's what it's called, but that's the kind of key hook. They re-sing that and they all the characters start dancing around the stage, all kind of these big goofy breaking character, like fun dance moves. The audience is now standing up. I think Sheridan even kind of said, like, get on your feet. So we're all standing, sort of clapping along while they're doing almost like a dance number at the end of a show that had no dance numbers, no big songs. So I'm like, wait, we're not at Sister Act the Musical. Why are we all...
That feels jarring.
Yeah, why are we all standing up? I want the ending to be haunting and like, you know, you wouldn't stand up at the end of Jamie Lloyd's Sunset Boulevard and have a jig around.
Yeah.
So this just felt like, oh, wait, are you just trying to send us all home, making us think that we had a different experience than we actually did, and you don't have the courage of your convictions to actually leave us with the existential questions of this story that you've just told? So, I mean, I'm not going to recommend you go and see it and spend money on it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm not.
No. If it was on at the Almeida and it was £20 a ticket, and then I'd say maybe give it a try just to see Sheridan, because she is great. And all the other performers, Nicola Hughes, like I mentioned, Annie Lennox, like all these people. But I can't really sort of say you've got to go and spend money on this. It just was like, but obviously we were lucky to get invited to a press performance, so we didn't pay for our tickets. And my friend Georgie, who I brought with, she likes theatre, so we had a good time because we had something to talk about at the interval and afterwards. It left us like lots of stuff to, we weren't like, god, that was terrible, let's go home. We were like, ooh, like,
what did you think about that?
Yeah, and we were both like, did it work? But we were both like, did it work? I don't know, but it gave us something to talk about at least. So there's that. If you do go, you will have stuff to dissect, but it just...
Well, that's a positive spin on it. I like that.
Yeah, you will have stuff to talk about. You will have, like, Sheridan Smith was really good. I just kind of think, oh, this would have been really good in the Dorfman Theatre at the National.
Or the Donmar, even.
Because you'd think, okay, interesting.
Yeah, let's see what they're doing.
But as a West End piece, I don't know. It seems a weird choice to have gone straight into the West End with it. It runs until the 27th of July. Tickets are... they're okay. If you go back of the stalls, they're about £50, I think, at the Gielgud. They're not bad. Again, they're also doing a Today Ticks rush tickets for £30. But yeah, it's obviously not like a huge ringing endorsement from me. But if you're a big Sheridan Smith fan, go and see Sheridan Smith. You'll be like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. But she is really good in it, as is the whole cast. But it just is just like not quite. As a West End show, no. It's not quite there.
Okay, before we go, what do we have coming up in April?
Nye at the National Theatre, about Nye Bevan, who sort of founded the NHS with Michael Sheen. That's our next big one. And then I think we're seeing, also, we're going back to the National a few weeks later for the Bronte sisters piece. We don't know anything about it, but it's about the Brontes.
Yes, you're right. We booked them both at the same time.
Yeah, so those are our next two. Two Goes at the National, speaking about things that should be at the National.
Okay, well, let's try and sneak in something else as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like there's a lot of good, exciting theatre out at the moment. But there's a lot of things opening and happening.
Well, I still want to see The Hills of California, the Jez Butterworth. So I must try and start entering.
I'm not. The rush you can that, go and no? see that. I just think it's 3 hours long.
I know, but The Ferryman was so good, and that was long.
But
so
I don't think it's going to top The Ferryman.
Yeah, this one's all that's a female cast. I'm quite interested to see it. Well, not all female, but it's a female-centered story. Mm. So yeah. Well, until next time, thanks again for listening to Theatre Club Podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Theatre Club Podcast on Instagram and join us next time.
Bye.